The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast, and what a busy day of racing it is coming up on Saturday as well. We've got a plethora of meetings to look forward to, including, of course, classic trials at Lingfield. There's a mixed card at Haydock where the Swinton Hurdle is the feature. We've got the Victoria Cup at Ascot as well, and plenty more racing besides that. Going to be taking a closer look at some of the racing on Saturday in due course, plus a look back at what we've seen Chester midweek as well. Sam Norris here, the presenter's chair, and joining me on this edition of the podcast, it's a very warm welcome to Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kev?
I'm not too bad at all, Sam.
Good.
Yeah, it's been some decent racing. Went through a bit of a quiet patch for 2 or 3 weeks during Punchestown and stuff. Just couldn't quite get the rub of the green, but starting to see some clear light now again and looking forward to getting stuck in. I think the flat season really, really kicks in. Obviously, I had 2,000 guineas, and that kind of just went over my head a bit. Looking forward to the Dante meeting, Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
And obviously this weekend, something for everyone on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're blessed with quality racing now pretty much throughout the course of the season now on almost a weekly basis. Let's look back at some of the action that we saw on the Rudy, though, on Thursday, of course, as Chester's May meeting continues. It's been wet at Chester throughout the course of this week, but some impressive winners nonetheless, particularly earlier on in the week. In terms of Thursday, we'll start with Circus Maximus, who won the D Stakes over a mile and a quarter, led home stablemate Mohawk, another 1-2 at Chester this week for Aidan O'Brien, who of course won both guineas last weekend and has continued that good form through to Chester. What did you make of Circus Maximus?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it was a decent race. He was made to work for it. I actually didn't quite fancy him for the race. It was more kind of a trip issue than anything else, but he did see out the trip very well in the end. And, you know, in terms of where he goes for the rest of the season, I'm not quite sure about Derby and things like that, but he could be a kind of a horse that would turn up at Sandown for the Eclipse. Maybe that kind of a... I think he could well be a 10-furlong horse. The horse that I would take out of it, now a lot of people were mentioning how unlucky, seemingly unlucky, Fox Chairman was, but you know, he could have had a cleaner run at the race for sure, Fox Chairman, but at the same time his overall head carriage and demeanour didn't necessarily convince that he wanted to go through with an effort, and it was only his second start. You know, you look at the two horses that finished ahead of him, Circus Maximus and Mohawk, you know, they've got 10 runs between them and he was only coming here on his second start. So it was a very good effort from Fox Chairman. I dare say he'll be a nice prospect for the rest of the season. But in terms of the Derby, I don't know if they intend on running Mohawk at Epsom, at the second home. But he wasn't given a particularly hard ride there, Sam. And he's just the type of horse that I'd imagine will, you know, he wasn't stopping at the finish. He was staying on really nicely and wasn't given a particularly hard time. He was obviously carrying that £5 penalty as well.
Yeah.
So if I was to take one out of the race with Epsom in mind, it would probably be Mohawk. I'd imagine he's north of 20-1.
He is. He's 25-1.
Okay, which is a fair price.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, when it comes around to Epsom, I'm always looking at those Aidan O'Brien third, fourth, fifth strings,
yeah, sure,
just to see what kind of a profile they have for the race. And I did like Mohawk.
Yeah, 25-1 for Mohawk for the Derby, and Circus Maximus is 20-1. Of course, Aidan O'Brien had a very impressive winner earlier on the week, Sir Dragonette, who's just been backed and backed and backed, now into 7-2 for the Derby. Still yet to see Japan as well unleashed from that yard this year.
Ammo.
Yes, indeed. Ammunition in abundance. As we've come to expect from that yard. In terms of the Ormond Stakes as well, the Group 3 race on the card, we had a very impressive winner there in the shape of Mirando for Andrew Balding, Sylvester D'Souza and King Power. Connections that are going very well throughout the course of the season. And the form on the bare face of things looks good. Had last year's St. Ledger winner 8 lengths behind in Kew Gardens. Magic Circle, who won the Chester Cup last year, was in behind those. And Mirando running out a very impressive winner. We've seen a few wide margin winners this week at Chester.
Yeah, we have. Before the race, Ken and the Pin were very, very confident about Kew Gardens. And, you know, they thought that the class would carry him through. But I thought, I said on air, you know, you have to take this horse on because all of his form is on good ground.
Yeah.
And to me, he's just a horse that needs some sun in his back. And you could tell after half a furlong, he just wasn't really enjoying himself, wasn't particularly letting himself down. As they started to round for home, the pace did slacken up a bit, and that allowed Ryan Moore to make up quite a bit of ground. You know, and obviously his class carried him there, and he managed to finish a respectable second. But it is just a starting point for him. And you know, if Miranda and Kew Gardens were to meet on good ground tomorrow morning, that gap would not be the same as it was there. Miranda's a nice type, though. You can't take anything away from him. He's clearly very talented and improving. And the Andrew Balding stable is becoming quite formidable, aren't they?
Yeah, very much so.
I think he's probably must have over 200 horses in his care now, does he?
Yeah, and obviously he's got plenty in these colours for King Power, who are beginning to see one or two nice horses.
Well, for a time, a lot of them were becoming disappointing.
They were, yeah.
Purchases, weren't they?
Yes, I think prior to this season, really, they only had Beat the Bank that I could think of as a horse that would have gone down as a success, but the likes of obviously that horse, Fox Chairman, you mentioned earlier, Bangkok as well, who's run this season, they've got some nice ones.
Yes, another one, an exposed one, Fox Champion runs tomorrow. He's completely unexposed as well. There's loads of them, a confusing amount of them.
Because they've all got quite similar-ish Leicester-sounding names, haven't they, as well?
But I like Miranda. He's a real nice type, and you know, he's beaten a St. Ledger winner all ends up there, no matter what way you look at it. And it was an impressive performance. I'm really interested to see how he progresses through the season. But as for Kew Gardens, don't give up on him. He just needs some sunshine.
Yeah. And of course he wouldn't be the first Aidan O'Brien runner to be beat on his seasonal return either.
Certainly not. Yeah. No. Lots of them do. Yeah, because they do target them for long, long seasons, right through until Ascot in October, Longchamp, you know.
Indeed. One of the most impressive two-year-olds all week also ran on Thursday in the shape of Full Authority for David O'Meara, another man who's having a good time of things at the moment. And Full Authority, again, won by 6 lengths, left a taking impression in that maiden.
He did. Really, really impressive victory. He looked the one on paper, certainly, beforehand on pedigree. And indeed in the betting as well. You know, the betting did suggest that this horse is above average. I was kind of looking at Stars in the Night as the target horse, if you will, because I think it ran up to a Racing Post rating of 81 on its debut, which sets a fair standard. It's been noted as well, ran up to an RPR index somewhere in the mid-70s.
Right.
So, you know, they were the two target horses, so to speak, and Full Authority just absolutely pulverised them, didn't he? He looks a Royal Ascot type all over, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was on very testing ground. It was his first effort at quite a trappy track. You know, God knows how good he could be on good ground. Mm. Very, very impressive, Sam. What kind of prices have we got for the Coventry?
That is a good question. I'll get the Coventry betting up in just a moment. Royal Ascot Coventry Stakes. Full Authority, 16 to 1 for the Coventry.
I mean, obviously, it's an extra furlong to go.
Yep.
And did show an awful lot of speed there. And you know me, Sam, stamina is a very, very important factor. You do have to get home, especially when you're surrounded by class horses in a class race. There's no hiding places. You know, if you don't get home, you will be found out. But it was a hugely exciting debut. There's been quite a few nice two-year-olds come out already this season. So it's really exciting stuff. And of course, nice to see a yard like David O'Meara with a juvenile to go to war with.
Yeah, indeed. 16 to the Coventry, that betting headed by Monarch of Egypt, of course, another one for the Aidan O'Brien team, 4-1 for that one. We'll move on to Saturday's action then. We're going to take a closer look at a couple of races at Ascot in a moment, but there's plenty of good racing up and down the land, and we'll have a quick word on a couple of races at Lingfield and one at Haydock before we get really stuck in. Obviously, we've got two classic trials at Lingfield on Saturday, and these trials haven't always filled up in years gone by, but this year I think we've got two pretty decent renewals, starting with the Oaks trial, where all eyes are going to be on Frankelina in the Oppenheimer colours, of course carried by the likes of Golden Horn and Cracksman in years gone by. This one trained by William Haggis, a daughter of Frankel, who won on debut, and lots are hoping that she's going to be taking a pretty serious step forward on Saturday.
You know, I don't think she achieved a great deal on debut.
Okay.
It's not that I don't think she didn't achieve a great deal, she just didn't achieve a great deal. What did she run up to? I think she ran up to Racing Post rating of something like 77.
Right.
Which wasn't backed up by a particularly quick speed figure either.
Okay.
So, in all reality, she's got quite a bit to find to be considered a class act. Now, clearly they think about a little bit of her.
Yeah.
And she's open to any amount of improvement, but I've taken her on. You know, and even the horses in behind her, Annapurna, Tauteki, King Power, there's nothing overly intimidating about them, and I put up Cape Islay in my blog. I'm not sure what price it is with those, but certainly double figure prices, maybe between 12s and 14s, I would say.
A little bit shorter, 11-1.
Okay, I was right about the double figures bit anyway. But yeah, just one of those horses that's got a bit more experience than a lot of these, has had a seasonal return, has had a run under her belt, and does have a bit to find, obviously, but 11-1, I'm willing to take a bit of an each-way squeak there. But it will be interesting to see how these fillies improve and where they sit in the general scheme of things, but on what they've actually achieved, there's nothing top class about them yet.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And I think perhaps horses who have had a bit more experience that sometimes overlooked in these races because you expect it to go to a more unexposed, sexier type, but just because this one has had a few more starts doesn't really take too much away from his chances.
No, definitely not. You know, I put an awful lot of importance in experience, you know. Her speed figures, I mean, on bare form, she's got a little bit to find with some of them.
Yep.
But as I say, on speed figures, in terms of pure A to B speed, she's not too far away at all. And a nice big price as well. You know, I am interested to see what Francolina is made of, but, you know, at quite short odds.
Yep.
I think there's every incentive to try and get her beaten.
And on to the Derby trial next then. Aidan O'Brien sends one over for this one. There was rumours that this was potentially going to be Japan, who's obviously right toward the top of the betting. It's Anthony van Dyck that he relies on instead, who obviously ran in Group 1s as a juvenile last year. A very short price here, 11-10, takes lots out of the market. Justifiably so?
Yeah, I do like the horse. As an individual, he's a real, real nice type. There's no getting away from that, and I think he sets a very clear standard. Cap Francais is also a solid animal. So I think there's a lot more strength at the top of the market than there is in the Oaks trial.
Yeah.
That I could be talking complete nonsense, but you know, we'll just have to see how
yes.
it goes. Eagles by Day as well, another one trained by Michael Bell that's unexposed and done very precious little wrong. But I've put up two against the field here.
Okay.
And I've had a little nibble at both of them. One of them is Ranch Hand, trained by Andrew Balding. Who's won? He's a gelding. He only started his career earlier on this season. He's had two runs at Sutherland, won both of them, and he's been quite impressive in doing so. Obviously, this is the Derby trial, but you have to take it for the race it actually is
sure.
on the day.
And
with that in mind, you know, he could have any amount of improvement in the locker. And the other one was the Max We Can, trained by Mark Johnston, who has slightly more quantifiable form than Ranch Hand. Ran a nice race at Leicester last time out and has shown good versatility, won at Bath, won at Chelmsford City, and has progressed on the figures through each of those three runs. Again, just a horse that's going to stay well. Obviously, it did see out the trip quite nicely at Leicester on his first start, and I could see him running quite well. And I'm not afraid to have a nibble at two horses at a big price in a race like this.
The Max We Can 16s and Ranch Hand 20-1 for the Lingfield Derby trial. On to Haydock for the 3:10 race now. A mixed card at Haydock, which I do like. I don't think we have enough of these in this country. Obviously, we have a few more in Ireland. The feature race today, though, is over the obstacles, and that is the Swinton Handicap Hurdle. Grade 3 prize over just shy of 2 miles. A race that Evan Williams has dominated in recent years. Has won 4 of the last 6 renewals, including the last 2 with Silver Streak and John Constable. The latter of those takes his chance again. Always like this race when it comes around, Kevin. And this year's renewal looks bang up to scratch.
I've only got really one point of interest.
Right.
at Haydock, because I am truly, truly sick of the jumps. Like,
okay.
Truly sick of the jumps. I was sick of it by Punchestown, and now I'm just completely done with it. But Johnny Constable, I mean, he ran in the race last year, Sam, off a mark of 157. What's he running in it now off?
132.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some work. He, you know, it could be that he's completely gone at the game. And if he is, then, you know, he won't win any race.
Yeah.
But from a handicapping point of view, he's the most interesting horse running tomorrow. There's no doubt about that at all. Because on all the evidence we've seen of him of late, he's completely gone.
Yes.
But at the same time, Evan Williams is a shrewd man. He knows that the horse acts well around market raising. He knows that he was very badly handicapped off that mark of 157. And, you know, they could have been running him all along with a view to this race. I'm not saying there's any skullduggery at play, but he was a badly handicapped horse anyway.
Yes.
So, yeah, he is just the most he's the most interesting horse running there tomorrow, for sure. So I just had to mention that because you just don't see that kind of drop in the weights from one year to another when we know that he's got such a close association with the race as well.
Yeah, indeed. Winner of it 2 years ago, John Constable. No betting on this, but he's forecast to be around about 10 to 1. It'll be interesting to see what price he opens up.
I'd say he'll be a little bit shorter than that. Yeah, I dare say.
I would agree. On to Ascot then, where we go for a couple more selections. Definitely getting our money's worth from Kevin this edition of the podcast. Let's start with the 215. Handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. 8 runners line up at the time of recording. And a nice little handicap this is, Kev.
It is, yeah. There's a couple of nice unexposed types in the race, the likes of Sextant running for Sir Michael Stout. Old campaigners like Eddystone Rock setting sail as well for Charlie Appleby, another unexposed runner. But the one I like is Blue Laureate for Ian Williams. And I'd be happy enough to put him up as my best bet tomorrow at the prices.
Okay.
Simply because Ian Williams is coming into a little bit of form in May. He's had a couple of winners. He had a winner yesterday at Worcester, I think. And, you know, he's just one of those trainers, isn't he, that when he starts coming into form, you just kind of have to pay attention to everything he runs. So this one, last seen running in the Melrose Handicap at York over a mile and six. Finished 7th of 16 in that race, but was only 4 lengths behind in Ghost Watch in what was a very, very good race on the day. Clocked a very good speed figure in defeat and runs here off the very same mark of 89. Before that, ran at Ascot over 12 furlongs on good ground and was a little bit unlucky that day not to beat Berkshire Blue. Again, very, very good on the clock. Has that course experience, has a little bit of experience on softer ground as well, and I think will be a reasonable price there too. So I'm struggling to see Blue Laureate out of the frame.
Okay, Blue Laureate then in the 215 race at Ascot, and we wrap up with the 325, another handicap at Ascot, over a mile this time. What do you like in this one, Kev?
Oh, one of Millman's.
Okay. Daddy's girl.
Yeah, Daddy's girl. There's not much to her, but she's game as a whistle, so she is. I mean, she took her damn time to pick up that winning run at Nottingham last time out down the outside, but once she really got rolling, she put the race to bed quite comfortably in the end. The handicappers only nudged her up £4 for a comfortable length victory. I wouldn't say it was comfortable. She did have to work hard for it, but you know, when you win by a length over a mile, it's reasonably comfortable. A victory. She's got form at Ascot as well. She ran there at October last year. She was only two and a half lengths behind Cliffs of Capri. That was another decent effort. She went off the boil a little bit after that, but she did roar back to form at Nottingham last time out. She's going to handle cutting the ground. She's got a good £5 claimer up. And I just think the handicapper's given her another chance there. As I said, I'm not sure what price she is. 8 to 1, maybe?
Sevens.
Mm. A good, solid each-way bet there. You know, it is a good little race. I think the most interesting one, Red Starlight is solid, form-wise. But Adorable is dropping way down in class. I mean, I think she won a listed race at Longchamp at the beginning of last season. Then she was pitched in Group 1 company, Group 2s, Group 3s, stepping back into... I'm talking about Adorable.
Yes.
The second favourite. And she just, you know, she just wasn't quite up to that class, but she's stepping back into handicap company now off a mark of 101, and I think Adorable is the dark horse in the field from a handicapping point of view. But based on recent achievements, I'm happy to put up Daddy's Girl for an each way shout.
Good stuff. A couple of each way fancies then at Ascot. Daddy's Girl in that 325 goes with the earlier pick of Blue Laureate in the 215. Loads of racing to come on Racing Radio on Saturday. You can join the guys from 1:15, Bobby Beavers, in the studio with John O'Connell and James Millman for all of today's racing. Kev, thank you for that. Pleasure as always.
Cheers, Sam.
Best of luck and enjoy it.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.